Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. And then I'm going to go to chapter 4, verses 10 to 17. So it starts at page 56 in your pew Bibles. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard the crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, and land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now I go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people to Israel, to the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And the will of the sign, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of our fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. And now chapter 4, verses 10 to 17. It's on the same page. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, What about your brother, Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful morning, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to gather here as a family of believers to hear your word, Lord. We pray, Lord, for each and every one of us that you may open up our hearts and our minds, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you may be with the pastor as he delivers your message, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you that in the coming week you may be with us and that we may believe, Lord, that through you everything is possible, that we can achieve all things through you, Lord. So we just ask, Lord, that you may be with us and you may guide us and give us that faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. I'm sure many of you know stories of someone who was a little boy and was, as a matter of fact, I never thought of this until right this morning. My grandmother used to tell the story of how she looked at my father when he was a little dirty-looking guy and his nose was always running, and he would say, oh, even if he was the last man on earth, I wouldn't want him to be my son-in-law. And then one day, my mother and my grandmother were sitting there, and she was smiling, my grandmother, and my mom said, why are you smiling, Mom? She said, because long time ago, I looked at my son-in-law, and I said, if he was the last boy, the last man on earth, I wouldn't want him to be my son-in-law. And now he is my son-in-law, and he is such a good man. Well, you know other stories of young little girls or boys who made it all the way up to the top. You know of a refugee girl who came to Canada, and then she became the Governor General of Canada. And you know others who were shepherds like David, and then became the king. He became the king and a very intelligent and wise man. Moses is another one, another example we have. And here we have the story of Moses. His story starts like this. From an abandoned child to an Egyptian prince, to a murderer, to a fugitive, to a shepherd, to a negotiator, to a miracle worker, to a leader of a nation, to a theologian, to a Supreme Court judge, to a messenger of God, to the lawgiver, etc. This morning we will look only, we'll look at Moses being the shepherd. We'll start from there. The shepherd and his special conversation with God is the subject this morning. When Moses went out with his sheep that morning, he had no idea of his meeting with God. For this was a day just like all the other thousands of days that he had spent tending his flock. For many years, Moses would take his sheep and go out and tend, take them for whatever food they needed. They would take, lead them to the water, and it wasn't one, just another day for Moses. When he left home, I'm sure he didn't expect the unexpected or the impossible, which was to meet God, or God to meet him and talk to him. But this was to be a very special day for him. He met God. That is why we must always be ready, for we never know what God has planned for each one of us. I know when we get up in the morning, we start saying, okay, today I have to do this, I have to do the laundry, I have to iron, or I have to go to work, and we plan all kinds of things. And yet that is the day that something special will happen. It could be that we'll meet a very important person. It could be that the house will be broken into, or a fire will start, or you may get sick. So we don't know when and how God will bring to our attention things that we have taken for granted. Moses had taken God for granted. Moses had forgotten his nation. Moses was feeling very comfortable where he was, and he was very satisfied with the routine of his job and his life. And yet, God had not forgotten. The solo we heard was that God never forgets. through the burning bush, God appears to Moses and reveals his glory. And then God calls Moses, and Moses responds, "Here I am." Do we hear God's voice? Are we tuned to Him? Moses was obviously tuned, or else he wouldn't recognize the voice. Moses responded as if he expected to hear God's voice. Are we sensitive enough to God's voice? Even in the most unlikely places and situations, I don't know about you, but I've heard God's voice in my mind, that is, and in my heart in the most unlikely places, in places where I didn't want God to speak to me, places where I just wanted God to leave me alone for just a little while because I don't want Him to know what I'm thinking or what I'm doing or what am I about to do. But Moses was ready, and he heard His voice. God is living and loving, a living and loving God, full of compassion, ready to help. In verses 7 and 8, we read, "I have seen the misery. I have heard the cry. I am concerned. I have come to rescue them." Listen to the words of God speaking to Moses. Moses thought that God had forsaken him and his nation. And yet God says, "I have seen the misery. I have heard their cry. I am concerned. I have come to rescue them." You either believe what the Word of God says, you either believe in the Bible, or reject the whole thing because you cannot pick and choose. I was meeting the other day with someone, and this person said, "Well, you know, you can't take really the Bible seriously. You can only take what is good for you." Well, it doesn't work that way. It's like saying to a doctor, "You know what, you gave me four or five or six pieces of pills to take. I don't like all of them. I'll only take one or two." You can't do that. It won't work. What a message of grace. What a wonderful God. He sees. You may think He doesn't see you where you are. Or you may think He doesn't see what's going on in your mind and in my mind. And yet He does. He hears. He cares. He rescues. And very often He uses people to do it. People like you and me. Yesterday, right after their workshop, I came to the church to meet with some of them. And we were discussing the value of outdoor evangelism or crusades. And we came to the conclusion at the end that even if you do all this just to reach out to one person, and one person is convicted and accepts the Lord, you don't know the results of that conversion. That person may become one of the greatest evangelists or the greatest teachers, or may become a silent worker for the Lord, and yet God chose to use you. But Moses wasn't ready at that point. And so God called Moses for service. Once again, God said, "So now, go, I'm sending you." God prepared Moses for 80 years for the job, and now was the time. But sadly, Moses did not reply, "Here I am, Lord, send me." In the beginning, he recognized the voice of God. "Yes, Lord. Here I am." And now that things are getting a little less comfortable for Moses, he says some things that we'll just look at right now. When God says, "I'm sending you," then he starts doubting his devotion or his commitment. For 80 years, the first 40 years, He was like a prince. He was a prince. And then the second 40 years, he was a shepherd, a good businessman. He ran his business very well. He was a good family man. And yet God wasn't finished with him, or he wasn't finished with God. God wanted him to serve some more, or another maybe 40 years. Instead, he questioned God. After all, wasn't Moses a failure? You remember what happened to him when he decided at the age of 40 to go out and free his people or help his people or do something right, and he wanted to meet his people. Finally, he wanted to know where he's coming from. And when he went out there and he saw an Egyptian or someone trying to kill a Jewish man, he attacked him and killed him. And the second day, something similar happened, and he went to sort of deal with the situation again. His own people turned against him, and he was scared, and he ran away. And for the following 40 years, he was a shepherd. Did he not have a family and business to run? Today, I believe our commitments are so conditional. Our commitment to God seems to be so conditional. I'll follow you if you allow me to go back and bury my father, one man said once to Jesus. He didn't mean that his father was dead and he wanted to go for the funeral. He wanted to go there and take care of his family and until his father died. And when his father had died and he felt free, then he would come and follow Jesus. So our commitment to God often, very often, is so conditional. Wasn't he too old? Well, 80 years old is not very young. I'm younger than that. So and feel old. And yet God said, I'm not finished with you yet. I have a lot of stuff that you are going to do. Was he not rejected by his people? He was. Perhaps some of these arguments went through his mind, but at least four objections were voiced that day as Moses argued with God's will for his life. First he said, who am I? I don't know whether you have ever said that. Who am I to do this? Who am I to teach a Sunday school class? Who am I to go out and do outdoor evangelism? I don't know. I said yesterday that those who came for the workshop and are willing to go out and do this outdoor evangelism have a lot of commitment to God, and I have what it takes to do it. And even if you feel you don't have what it takes to do it, I believe that God will do it for you and with you and through you. Who am I? Verse 11. Moses said to start his argument, we admire Moses for his humility, but let's not forget that Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. Acts 7:22 says, the 40 years of training and discipline in the desert as a shepherd had humbled him quite a bit. But he had become also very comfortable in what he was doing, shepherding a flock of sheep. He was content with what he had. Are we not the same too? Very often we are willing to pray for a ministry. Very often we are willing even to send a check or even to invite a missionary to our church and support them. Very often we would like to encourage someone in the church to take that job because God needs someone to do it. Very often we always come up with ideas and suggestions how someone else can do the job, and yet we could do it better, but we feel so comfortable and we are in such a wonderful comfort zone or environment that we don't want to rock the boat. God wanted him to become a great shepherd and lead his nation out of bondage and into the promised land. But Moses could not see it that way at all. He was happy with what he had. And even though God reassured Moses of his presence by saying to him, I will be with you, Moses still doubts God's will and plans. Humanly speaking, we should understand Moses. The Jews would want to know on what authority Moses was asking them to move to an unknown place. Now, I thought about it a little bit yesterday. I said, if someone had come to any one of us, had someone had come to me, or I heard the voice of God say, Joseph, now you've been very comfortable here for 50 years here in Canada. I wanted to move and do this and go there. I would just freeze. Lord, I'm sure it's not you. I'm sure it's some kind of an evil spirit talking to me or whatever. And then we will start explaining to God why it is so important to be where we are. Where we are. And as a matter of fact, I'm not even suggesting that every one of us should leave our work and home and start traveling around the world. No. But we can leave our comfort zone where we are and reach out to someone, reach out to a group, reach out and touch someone's life. But often we are too comfortable, as Moses felt with his family. And even though God reassures Moses, he is still arguing. Moses still doubts God's will and plan. So God very patiently revealed his name. He says, my name is Jehovah. I am who I am. And then God went into a great length to reassure Moses of his help and guidance and gave him a promise that the move would be successful. Now, the fact that God reveals his name should not surprise you, because even though Moses heard the burning bush, I don't know whether he felt that God was speaking through the bush, but yet he did not take that voice, obviously, very seriously, or seriously enough to obey him. But Moses continues to argue. And what if they do not believe me? Moses said. God just had said that they would believe him in verse 18 of chapter 3. So this statement was nothing but unbelief. How many times we too argue with God? God had given him his promise and the tool to do the work, but Moses was still arguing. They won't believe me, Lord, he said. One more try. Oh, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to me. I am slow of speech and tongue. I remember once when Brother John Ertzus, an evangelist who went to be with the Lord a few years ago, he would come to preach here, and he came to me and he said, you know what you need, Joseph? I said, what? He said, you must expand the ministry. I said, like how? He said, you've been doing some tracks and things, that's fine, but you should go on the radio. I said, look, are you joking? Listen to my speech. I have an Armenian Greek accent. I'm not as educated as you are. I'm slow often to say something. And you think I can go on the radio? He said, sure you can, if God wants you to. And I said, no, I can't. And then the second time he came to visit us, he insisted again. I said, okay, I'll try, okay? So I called the radio station and they said, okay, we can do it. Well, obviously, I was right. I do have an accent, and I'm slow sometimes, and yet The program is on the air now for the past almost 10 years, and we have received so many calls, not because they like my voice, not because they like my accent, because they like the message. And so Moses tried to convince God that he couldn't speak well. God has just said, I am. And Moses could only say, I'm not. Moses was looking at himself and his weakness instead of God and his power. What about you and I? How often do we use the same excuse? I have to be honest with you and say this, that I hear this excuse very often, even from you. Because I've used the same excuses and still use these excuses sometimes to others when they ask me something. These excuses are actually reasonable excuses, reasonable reasons why we cannot do it, and yet unreasonable to God, because God has said, I will help you, I'll be with you, I'll strengthen you, I'll do it with you and through you. God talks to Moses about the basics. Chapter 4:11 says, the Lord said to him, who gives man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not the Lord? And God continues as if he was running out of patience. Moses, listen to me. God said, I'll help you speak and will teach you what to say. So you would have thought that Moses finally got it right this time. Wrong. Moses tries harder, but this time he runs out of excuses. And in chapter 4, verse 13, we read, he said, please, Lord, finally send someone else to do it. God did just almost everything for Moses, short of doing the job himself, but Moses still said no. Have you ever said no to God about a visit to someone? Have you ever said no to God for calling someone who don't really want to talk to? Have you ever said no to God when he said, go to the Bible study or prayer meeting or to the church or to a hospital to do something or say something or learn something or share your testimony with someone because you feel you are too busy and you need... Often the spiritual things are not first in our priority list. And that is really sad because God has given us everything we have, including the material things, including our health. And yet we tell him that I have my own priorities, Lord. Now what would you do if you were in God's place? Would you just get angry and send Moses away? Or maybe you would have walked away from Moses. Yes, God did get angry. In verse 14, the Lord's anger burned against Moses, the Bible says, but God did not walk away from Moses. Finally, God gave him Aaron, his brother, to be his helper. But Aaron turned out to be more of a hindrance than help, actually. Aaron led his nation into idolatry and murmured. What about you and I? Are we not all called to serve God? Yes, God is calling you and me to serve him with whatever gifts we have. All of us, without exception, have gifts. The call may come through a burning bush, a letter, an announcement, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a child. The call may be to lead a nation or just a small group of two or three. To lead a large church congregation or a small Sunday school class of one or two. or even one person in need of direction. You may have been called to teach, help in the nursery, dust the pews, or whatever you are called to do. The call is there for us, for you and me. But what will your response be? Here am I, send me, or not me, Lord, send someone else. We must serve Him wholeheartedly, Ephesians 6:7 says. You don't have to be perfect to have extraordinary gifts to serve God. Just willing to serve Him. Just be willing to serve Him. What is important to God is not our ability, but rather our availability. Are you available? Have you ever said, please, Lord, send someone else? What God asked Isaiah, when God asked Isaiah, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah responded, here am I, send me. Are you ready to say, here am I, Lord, send me? You may think that you don't have great gifts to use in His service. You may think that you may not be able to please God and others. You may have 1,001 reasons why you cannot serve God and others. But God knows best. He knows you and He knows that He can use you, whoever you are. All God wants from you is your willingness to serve. The rest is His job. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. Lord, You were willing to come to this earth to die on the cross. And yet, often we are not willing to give 1 hour or 1 day or whatever is needed. Forgive us. And Lord, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit may convict each one of us, starting from me. And may Your Holy Spirit show us what is Your will in our daily life. And Heavenly Father, I thank You for giving us this opportunity once again to gather together and have fellowship. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.